You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Hello, I'm Bryda Nichols, and this is NITV Radio. Coming up now for you, my yarn with Nada Nasser, and our conversation is about Mission Australia's response to the 2021 New South Wales budget and what it means for more vulnerable members of the community.
So I'm Nada Nasser, the State Director, New South Wales Victoria ACT with Mission Australia. I look after community services really across those three states. Mission Australia delivers a range of programs from housing and homelessness, obviously, is a really big part of our work, as well as child, youth and family programs, mental health support, employment programs. We also do aged care and some disability local area coordination in other states as well.
So what were some of your key takeaways from the recent New South Wales budget?
We welcome investment in some housing and homelessness, particularly the expansion of the Together Home program, which will invest about 250 new social housing and support packages with wraparound support for homeless people, focusing very much on rough sleepers. So the Together Home expansion is really welcomed. We also, do welcome other investment in other social housing, for example, the investment in Aboriginal housing, programs and infrastructure. We know from the census data and through our work that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are overrepresented in homelessness statistics, particularly housing overcrowding is a major concern. So any additional investment in Aboriginal housing and responses to homelessness is very much welcome. We do, however, as good as some of that additional investment is in, a significantly more investment is needed in social housing. We know that there are about 50,000 people on the housing waitlist in New South Wales, and a lot more investment is needed in order to fill that gap. We estimate that an investment of about 5,000 new homes every year, new social housing homes every year over the next 10 years is needed in order to fill that gap. So we are a long way away from addressing that. And the other thing is that in other states, so there's been some other social housing, really big social housing investments in other states, particularly Queensland and Victoria more recently, have invested really quite big. Queensland about $2.9 billion in this budget, and Victoria last year about $5.3 billion. So what we're saying is that this gives you an indication of the scale of investment that's needed to really address the gap between the need for social housing from people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness and the supply of social housing.
There's been an increase in support for women and children impacted by domestic and family violence. Can you talk us through these changes and what they'll mean for people escaping this violence?
Look, we really welcome any investment in additional support for victim survivors of domestic and family violence. We know that about a third of people who ask for help from homelessness services are asking for help because they are escaping domestic and family violence. So we know domestic and family violence is a big contributor to homelessness, but of course it really has a major impact on the well-being of women and children in particular. So we do welcome the additional funding to boost support for domestic and sexual violence survivors, particularly to accelerate their access to justice. So there's about $148 million earmarked for programs that, so there's about $60 million to strengthen frontline services. So any investment in additional frontline services is really welcome because it's highly needed. There was about $32 million put into expanding the Staying Home Living Violence program. And the Staying Home Living Violence is a really great program because it helps victims, survivors of domestic violence to stay home while the perpetrator leaves and provides additional support and security for women and children to be able to stay home. So that's really great. And there are a number of other programs, particularly around the courts and improving access in the court system to victim survivors of domestic and family violence.
How is the issue of lack of housing affecting women and children who are trying to leave situations of domestic and family violence?
Well, it has a major impact because often victims, survivors of domestic violence, sometimes they stay in the violent situation because they have nowhere else to go. And sometimes when they do leave, often they end up staying in a refuge or transitional accommodation waiting for social housing. So there are, as we know, the waiting list for social housing is quite long. So often they are waiting for social housing. So they may end up being stuck in a refuge for a longer period of time than needed. But really, ultimately, we don't want to see women and children in particular being left in a violent situation because simply they have nowhere else to go. Often that is a reason for staying in a violent situation, so that has a major impact. About a third of people who seek help from the homelessness services are seeking help because of their escaping violence, domestic or family violence. We know that the impact is quite high.
What additional support services and investment do you think should be a priority for the New South Wales government, particularly things that the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community need?
Aboriginal people experience disproportionately high levels of homelessness, so clearly more investment in housing is really important. And the reason why I emphasise that is because the impact of inadequate housing on Aboriginal health and wellbeing is really significant. We've noted recently in the 2020 Closing the Gap report that it really to achieve gains in life expectancy relies in part on improvement in housing. So the link between adequate and safe and affordable housing and health and wellbeing is really key. So we want to see increased investment in social housing. It's really critical that government works together in partnership with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and organisations to design and deliver appropriate housing. So it's not just about having more housing, it's about making sure that housing is appropriate for the community. Clearly we want to see significant more investment in social support services. This was an opportunity for the government to, particularly as an impact of the pandemic and in a stimulus environment, to really invest a lot more in social and community services. So across the board, we want to see a bigger investment in social and community services. In relation to Aboriginal people specifically, there's clearly a lot more investment is needed in a number of areas. But let me give you a couple of examples. We didn't see any investment, any sort of additional investment to address the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in custody, for example, or to ensure the Aboriginal deaths in custody stop. So that's a really big area. The government has made large investments in prisons and police, but we want to see greater investment in community-based supports and diversionary programs instead of the more investment in the punitive hardline approaches. And this is what community legal centres, for example, have been advocating for years. And clearly more investment in addressing the legacy of the stolen generation. The loss of culture continues even today with the overrepresentation of Aboriginal children in care. So more investment, the government really needs to listen more and work more closely with Aboriginal families and communities to address, children's safety and help children and families to remain within a family and sort of kin environment. A lot more. I think the out-of-home care system clearly needs a lot more investment and support. We saw $12 million allocated to promote guardianship and the permanent adoption of children in out-of-home care, sort of understandably concerning to Aboriginal people. So we want to see the government prioritise keeping children with both families and kin where it's safe to do so. Some more investment in these more culturally appropriate and safe at-home care arrangements are really important. Mission Australia supports investment in a strong and sustainable Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander sector, children and family housing sector. So to ensure responsive Aboriginal-led supports for families and children. So really targeted investment in Aboriginal-led solutions and supports will achieve much better outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, families, homeless people and communities more generally.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.